There was a youth minister who was invited to speak at a youth conference. This was a few years back. At this youth conference were people who were from upper high school to kind of college age. They were from different denominations, from all parts of the country, gathered together for this conference. And among many of the presentations, this one youth minister was invited to give a talk. And he came prepared with two questions. And he was counting on the answers to those questions from those he was talking to give him some direction of where his presentation was to go. So he asked his first question. And as he asked the questions, he had a flip chart and a magic marker. And he asked the group this question. What are the big issues that your churches are talking about? When you listen to the people in the churches from where you've come from, what are the hot topics that are being talked about? Anybody? Hands started to be raised. One person said, oh, in my church, the big debate going on is whether we should have more contemporary music or more traditional music. You can't believe the debates that are going on this in our church. So he writes down traditional music, contemporary music. What are some other topics that are being talked about? Someone raised their hand and says, well, the part of the country that I come from, the big topic seems to be creationism and evolution. Creationism and evolution seems to be the big thing in all the schools. So he writes down. Creationism versus evolution. Anybody else? What are some other topics you're hearing talked about in your church? And one person said, oh, in my church, there's a lot going on. They're looking to revise the language that we use in our services, revise the language that we use in our liturgy, sort of our book that we use. Our prayer book is being changed and revised. And oh, my gosh, the fights that are going on about this, how the word should be, and their new prayers, they're being said differently, and people are all upset. So I wrote down, you know, revising a prayer book for services. Any other kind of topics? And someone said, well, I come from a part of the country where you even see it on billboards, but the big thing being talked about in our church is, are you saved? Are you saved? And who's not? That's a big topic in my part of the country, and that's all my church seems to be talking about. Wrote down, are you saved or not? So he took that piece of paper, ripped it off the flip chart, and he put it up on the wall over here so everybody could see it. Then he came back and he said, I have another question I'd like to ask. And the question is this. When you all get together yourselves at school or with friends, when you're talking among your peers, what are the big issues, the big serious issues that you talk about? Hands started going up. First person said, well, one of the things we're kind of talking a lot about is, you know, as technology develops and as the world begins to, in a sense, contract, as we begin to engage with people throughout the world, we run into and we bump into different cultures and different worldviews and different understandings of things. Something they said that our parents' generation didn't have so much of an experience of, but we do, and we try to figure out how do we do that well? How do we do this well? He wrote down, you know, different cultures, the world contracts, you know, running into other kinds of understandings of the world, multiculturalism. Someone else said the big concerns we talk about are, you know, environmental issues, you know, the resources that we have and how we use them and how these things are going to affect our lives through the use of the resources and the environmental concerns. So he wrote down, you know, environmental concerns. Someone else said the incredible growth of the world's population and the demands on the resources as the population grows. You know, how do we manage that well? How do we look at that? How do we consider that when so much of the population is living in such dire poverty? So wrote down on the board, you know, the concern of growth and population explosion. Someone else raised their hand and said, we talk a lot about poverty and hunger in the world. You know, when you realize that the majority of the world's population lives on a dollar a day and can't even have access to clean water, I mean, what does that mean? How does the world go forward like that? Wrote down on the board, hunger, poverty. Someone else said, just the world we live in, the threats of terrorism, the threats of things just exploding in our midst, wrote down on the flip chart. Threats of terrorism and the fear of the world and those around the world. Then took that piece of paper, ripped it off the flip chart, and put it over here on this side of the room so everybody could see it. And he was hoping that these answers are going to give him some direction in where his presentation should go. But he admits in this sharing of this story that not only did it challenge where he was going to go with this, but it was one of the moments in his life where he looked at those two lists and he said, I don't see a whole lot in common with these two lists. And he had one of these moments where he was, at this time, he was a youth minister. Eventually, he would become a pastor of a church for 24 years. It was a big part of his life and his journey. But at this point in his ministry, he stopped, he said, at that moment, and he said, what am I doing? Am I inviting people, informing people, challenging people to live into this list? Or am I called to somehow engage with this list? He began to realize that, you know, as he reflected on his own life and his own ministry, that so much of church experience can be taken with these kinds of things. Not that those things are not significant or important in our lives together. This is not an either-or kind of list. But sometimes we can become so caught up with church life, with religious things, that we can forget who we are and what we're called to become. Someone once shared, I hope you're not offended by this line, someone once said that sometimes, you know, religion can become a weapon of mass distraction. We can become so engulfed and engaged in our own religious world that we tend to just disengage from the world. And so he began to think about that in his own life, and began, he didn't share a whole lot what he talked about in that conference, but he talked about what it did for him. And he began to realize that, reflecting on the life of Jesus, you know, how did Jesus do this? What did Jesus do? And he began to realize that, you know, this is pretty apparent, I don't think this is new to you, but Jesus didn't come to start a religion. Now, Jesus didn't say to his disciples, hey, come here. I want to start a new religion. And I want to name it after me. We're going to call it Christianity. You know that's, I mean, you laugh at it because you know that's not true. And yet, do we live like that? You know, the word Christianity doesn't even appear in the scriptures. Doesn't even appear in the scriptures. That's a later development. But there is a word that appears in the scriptures. It appears 261 times. I didn't count them, but I read this. The word is disciple. Disciple. When you think about what Jesus was about, Jesus was gathering disciples. Jesus was inviting people to come together. Jesus was inviting people to follow him. What's the word we hear Jesus say so often? Follow me, come with me. And what Jesus was doing was forming disciples, I would suggest, to walk and engage with that list. To walk and engage with the brokenness of his time, the need for reconciliation in his time, the need for healing in his time. Jesus didn't walk away from that. Jesus didn't say to his disciples, don't worry about the world. Just walk away from the world. Jesus wasn't creating a religion that was meant to be some kind of an escape route to the next life, kind of an evacuation plan into another world. We don't gather together on this Christmas Eve and celebrate the excarnation, God leaving creation, God walking away from the world. What we celebrate this evening is the incarnation, Christ coming into this world, engaging with this world, becoming a part of this world. Jesus came to bring about a kingdom, not a religion, but a kingdom. Not a kingdom of oppression, not a kingdom of weapons, not a kingdom of violence, but a kingdom that was a call to see the world in a different way and to be part of that. And as this ever-expanding group of disciples grew, it began to form a community of faith, began to form church, began to form together and figure ways to engage with the world. And this list develops. This list is important. Those topics that I just shared with you, they're significant. As rector, sometimes I think a lot of my life is with this list in church life and community life, the day-to-day things that we need to shape as we figure out how to go forward. But in my life, I see that it's about that list over there. It's about our call to shape ourselves, to form ourselves, to decide how to go about doing things and engage with all of you here so we can go forward into ministry, into the world, as Jesus calls us to. And sometimes we can think that we're not called to engage in the world. And yet, when you think about just the ministry of Jesus, think of the Lord's Prayer. We'll say it in a little while. I wrote this down to remind myself. Sometimes we think this way. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. May we someday go to your kingdom in heaven after we die, where unlike earth, your will is done. We don't really believe that. We don't say that. But sometimes we act like that. We think like that. Just disengage from this world and let's get ready for the next. And yet, what do we say when we say the Lord's Prayer? Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. May your kingdom come. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We're called to be a people who engage with our world. We're called to be a people who transform this world. We're called to be disciples. Disciples of Jesus, who are formed and shaped together. And by being formed and shaped together, guarantee we'll have lots of different opinions on how to address those issues. Guarantee that. But that's who we are. It's not about right answers. It's not about definitive answers. But it's about, can we walk together? Can we walk together and somehow engage with these issues? And maybe we'll find common ground. Maybe we'll find ways to bring about reconciliation. And maybe we will develop a relationship together as well as we walk into this and gain wisdom, gain insight by walking together. I just want to end with this one thought as I conclude tonight, reading this gospel reading. Really one of the first great wisdom people of Christianity, of the followers of Jesus, was Mary. Jesus' mother. Mary was this person who was able to allow God to enter into her life, even when she didn't understand it. And that great line tonight in the gospel, she pondered these things. She reflected on these things. As disciples, we're called to not figure out what the answers are all the time, but to be committed to the journey, committed to discipleship, being committed to walk together, to look at our broken world and find ways to engage with each other and with those in need of healing. And so as we gather together tonight on this great feast of Christmas, this great feast of the Incarnation, God coming among us, Christ coming into our midst, may we continue to be disciples together. I think it's fair to say, and I hope you would agree, that we here at St. Paul's, I really think that we don't just dwell on that list, but I think we try to engage in this list. And I think that's one of the things that we should continue to feel good about as we grow together, as we live into discipleship together. And those of you visiting tonight, those of you who may be here for the first time, invite you to join us in discipleship as we walk into this journey, walk into this world, to be shaped and formed together. And eventually, in discipleship, be sent forth into the world as apostles to be a transforming presence. Let us pray as we gather this night to give thanks for the gift of Jesus, give thanks for the gift of the Christ, and may we truly be disciples, walking into our world, walking into the dream and into the vision that God has for this world and for us, and walk this wondrous journey together. Merry Christmas.